Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome back.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hope everyone had a beautiful Yontif. For those who I've seen throughout, and for those who I have not, I hope your travels were nice, and your Rosh Hashanah, your Yom Kippur, your Sukkot was all meaningful. It's hard to believe it was only a week ago, right? Yeah. Sukkot ended last Tuesday night, so we're about a week out.
Seems forever.
Yeah, it does seem like forever, but we're still gleaning, basking in the light of Sukkot. So today's Perek HaTehillim is actually inspired by one of my children, who over Yontif, Yontif must have been on Monday. So if you paid attention to the Pesukei DeZimra for Yontif, so we say Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos. That's part of the Pesukei DeZimra. So one of my children looked at me and said, "Why do we say Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos if it's not Shabbos?" I said, that's a good question. Let me explain that to you. And it caused me to look into this Perek HaTehillim a little bit. And so that's what I want to share with you this morning. It's obviously a chapter of Tehillim that we say most prominently on Friday night at the end of Kabbalah Shabbos, right as we transition from Kabbalah Shabbos into Maariv. If there's an Avel in Shul, if there's someone who's in mourning in Shul, it's right before this Perek HaTehillim that the Avel comes back into Shul. And we'll discuss that a little bit in a few minutes. It's also when, again, if you're in Shul, again, not the timing-wise, but when we assume we accept Shabbos, so this does usher in Shabbos, which makes a lot of sense, we also say it Shabbos morning in Pesukei DeZimra. We all say it Yontif morning in Pesukei DeZimra. And so I want to explore why specifically this is the Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos, why it's designated specifically for Shabbos, and why it can really be said anytime. It doesn't have solely to do with Shabbos. This is the only Shir, this is the only Perek HaTehillim that the time is designated, right? You don't have Mizmor Shir LeSukkos. You don't have Mizmor Shir LeRosh Hashanah. So we know that certain Prakim were connected to Rosh Hashanah. That's what we saw beforehand when we did the ones, for example, before we read the Shofar, etc. But this is the only one that's designated for a time period. And the question that we're going to have to answer is why? Why is this the chapter of Shabbos? So let's jump right in. And as we always do, we'll go through the Perek and then hopefully tease out some bigger themes. First of all, the Pasuk says, Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos. This is the song of Shabbos. Pasuk Bet, Tov Lehodot, Ladonai LeZamer, LeShimcha Elyon. Very famous words, a very famous song, that it's good to thank Hashem, ULeZamer LeShimcha Elyon, and to sing to your name. Now, what is the genesis of this Perek HaTehillim? So if you look on page number 3, of the little packet I gave you. You might even want to rip off that first page so you could have that in front of you, because that's going to be our text. But the Midrashim offer two different suggestions for the origin of this Perek HaTehillim, both of which are going to be very relatable to us because of the parshios that we have been reading over the last couple of weeks. So first of all, let's start actually with source number 2. Medrash says the following. Rav Shimon Omer, HaMizmor Hazeh, Adam HaRishon Amru. Adam HaRishon, the first human being ever created, was the first one to ever say this Perek HaTehillim. Lefi Sheba Yom HaShabbos V'Nasa Senegor LaAdam Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'Amar Ribono Olam. V'Sheishes Yimei HaMaiseh Lo Ne'arag Ish Ba'Olam. 6 days of creation, no one dies. Uvi Ata Maschil. And you're going to start with death on my day? What are we talking about here, of course? When does Adam HaRishon sin? Right? Mankind is created on Friday. Okay? He sins Erev Shabbos. In fact, the Chazal tell us that the tree that he was not allowed to eat from was going to become permitted to him had he waited for Shabbos. So the sin of Adam HaRishon was what? He couldn't wait. That he failed the marshmallow test. Right? No, he couldn't withhold himself for just a little bit longer, and he had to eat that, whatever it was, apple, esrog, whatever the case might be. He couldn't wait any longer. So he sins Erev Shabbos. When the sun sets, Adam HaRishon is told that he's now, death is introduced to the world, this is, God's going to punish him. The sun sets, think about it. The first time the sun set, what did Adam HaRishon think?
World's over.
And it's only when the sun rises the next morning does he realize that there's a pattern to the world. So if you put yourself in Adam HaRishon's mindset, this is what Shabbos is saying to Hashem. He's saying, 6 days of creation, no one dies. You got to kill him on my day. Right? I was just in someone's shiva house. And a parent died right near the birthday. And the person told me the only thing I was hoping for was that my blank didn't die on my birthday. Because then it ruins the birthday. So that's what Shabbos is saying. You have to introduce death on my day. Zoe kedushasi, v'zoe berchasi. V'nutzal Adam HaRishon medina shel Gehenem b'schus HaShabbos. So Adam HaRishon is saved from Gehenem as a result of Shabbos. Ukshera Adam kochel shel Shabbos. When Adam HaRishon sees the power of Shabbos, hischil meshorer mizmor shir liyom HaShabbos. He starts singing a song of praise to Shabbos. Amar leya Shabbos v'liyata omer himnon. Ani v'ata nemar himnon l'kadosh baruch hu. Shabbos says, you're singing to me. It's not really about me. Let's come. Let's sing together to Hashem. And that's tov lahodos l'Hashem. So according to the Midrash in source number 2, what is this mizmor shir liyom HaShabbos? It's when Adam HaRishon realized that Shabbos had saved him, that there was a destructive force in the world, and somehow Shabbos is the sanctuary from that. That's when Adam HaRishon begins to sing toward Shabbos. And of course, the connection between that first Shabbos and every single one of our Shabboses is not so distant, right? We live in a world where it is forces pulling us away from Hashem, forces pulling us away from our spirituality, from our core, and all of a sudden Shabbos is that sanctuary. Okay, it's why the Zohar compares Shabbos to Noach.
Exactly, that's what I was going to say, the Ark of Noach, Shabbos.
Yeah, so Shabbos is compared to the Teva, to the Ark of Noach, because why? The same way the Teva, the Ark, provided a sanctuary for Noach when there was a flood and a hurricane around him, so too Shabbos, spiritually, provides that sanctuary to us in a world that is oftentimes complicated and confusing. That's Midrash number 1. Midrash number 2, if you look in source number 1 on the page, has a very different conversation, but a similar theme. Says the Midrash, the end of line number 1. Paga bo Adam HaRishon. This is after Cain has killed Hevel. Adam HaRishon meets up with Cain. Amar lo, he says to him, Ma nase bedinecha. Adam HaRishon knew that Hashem was going to punish Cain. So he sees Cain, he says, how did it go? Right? It's like when I call one of my children into my room to punish them. So you know they're like three little ears listening at the door. What happened today? Right? What did he take away? Okay? So that's what Adam is saying to Cain. Like, what did God take away? The hockey sticks, the video games. What did he take away? Amar lo, so Cain says back to him, Asisi teshuvah. I did tshuva. Right? This amazing earth-shattering concept. Vinisparashti. Vinisparsharti. Excuse me. Hischil Adam HaRishon mitapeach al panav amar kachi kocha shel tshuva. Adam HaRishon can't believe it. He says, this is the power of tshuva. Ve'ani lo hayisi odeya. I never knew how great tshuva was. Or again, Adam HaRishon also sinned. And he says, it never dawned upon me to try to do this tshuva. Miyad amad Adam HaRishon ve'amar mizmor shir liyom HaShabbos. And he immediately begins to sing mizmor shir Liyom HaShabbos. Now this, good morning. No, Adam begins. Oh, good. We have two chairs in the.
Yeah, it's a bit warm.
Is it warm in here? So if you actually go. So the Midrash says that Adam is the author. Thank you. Sorry to put you to work. So Adam is the author of this chapter of Tehillim. That seems very difficult. How did it get? So the Midrash says, Amar of Levi, Mizmor Zeh, Adam Rishon Omru. Adam Rishon said it. V'nishtakach Midoro, and then it was forgotten. Ba Moshe Rabbeinu came along, v'chidsho al shmo, mizmor shir liyom HaShabbos, tov l'ados Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu came and reincarnated, so to speak, this chapter of Tehillim. He put it back into our liturgy. Okay, now, what's the obvious question about this midrash? What does Shabbos have to do with tshuva? Right here, Adam HaRishon finds out that there's this amazing concept called tshuva, that a person can sin, and God is willing to forgive him. And all of a sudden, he breaks out in singing, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. What does Shabbos have to do with tshuva? The answer is, in all likelihood, is it says, Tov Lahodos L'Hashem. Lahodos means to what?
Praise.
Praise. Or to mode, to acknowledge. What word Dr. Schwartz, sounds very similar to lahodos. Look at the word lahodos and try to find another word.
Vidoy.
Right, vidoy. Vidoy, to confess. Tovlo dos l'Hashem, it's good to confess to Hashem. Which is definitely not the simple interpretation of this parakatelem, but perhaps some of you will have greater insight than I will. Okay, so that's at least Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. What does this have to do with Shabbos? So two interpretations. One is either the Midrash that says that Shabbos actually provided that beacon of light to Adam HaRishon after he sinned and he was convinced that God wanted nothing to do with him anymore. And all of a sudden, Shabbos comes along and reminds that the same way the sun sets, the sun's going to rise again. Adam HaRishon says, Shabbos, you're amazing. You're going to be eternally my sanctuary.
But Shabbos didn't create Shiva. Shiva existed before.
Correct. And therefore?
So why is he taking Shabbos?
He didn't know.
No. According to the Midrash in source number 2, Shabbos was the one who argued on his behalf to Hashem. That Hashem was going to punish Adam on Shabbos. And Shabbos said, why is that fair to me? So Adam said, thank you so much that you were the one who saved me. So Shabbos is forever that sanctuary for us. I thought you were referring to the first Midrash, which is a little bit more complicated, as Ira pointed out, which is that Cain says, I did something called tshuva. Adam says, there's this thing called tshuva that's amazing. We can repent. Mizmor shir liyom HaShabbos. Tov lo dos l'Hashem. What is ma'etzel shmita etel artzina? Like, what does one have to do with the other? What does the fact that Cain was saved through tshuva have to do with the fact that we sing Mizmor shir liyom HaShabbos? Okay, and hopefully we'll explain a lot of this as we go along.
Yeah. I just want to say, I feel something. I was told, for example, that on Friday, on Shabbos, we cannot do the bedtime Shema with the bidui type of confession. So meaning we cannot do teshuva this type. So how come Shabbos?
I don't know about that. We do tshuva anytime. Anytime Hashem will take our tshuva. That I promise you. Okay. So let's go on a little bit, and hopefully we'll tease out some of these ideas. Again, that's tov lo dos l'Hashem. It's good to sing praise to Hashem. Ulizamer l'shimcha alyon. And again, to sing to His high name. Says the Malbim, I'll just take a little bit of backtrack. You have this on source number 3 in your source sheet. Says the Malbim, what are we talking about here? He says, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, Shir Hazeh Yidaber Mehashkachat Hashem Ba'olamo. We're talking about Hashem's divine providence in this world. Shehagam Shenira Sheakol Noeg Api Hateva, even though it appears that everything is natural, someone with an attuned eye will recognize that while this world appears, we're on source number 3, that this world appears to be nature, it's really under the dominion, the providence, the watchful eye of Hashem. And they'll look at the punishment of the wicked and the reward of the righteous. And while Hashem certainly hides Himself in this world, right, the word olam comes from the word he'elam, hidden, right? God is hidden in this world. And the reason why Hashem is hidden in this world is because that gives room for us to have free choice. If we knew that God existed without any degree of uncertainty, we would have no free choice. We would feel compelled to believe in Hashem. In fact, I got another doozy. I was in Trader Joe's with one of my children the other day, and they looked up at me. I'm using non-descriptive terms. And they said, how do we know we're right? Right? What if God doesn't exist? I was like, whoa. I was supposed to have a couple more years before I got those. Right. No, but obviously I didn't. You have to speak to each child on their level. But this is the answer, right? No, this Hashem prevents us from knowing that definitively. Because if we know that definitively, we wouldn't have any Bechira Chavshas. We would have no free choice. In fact, says the Maharal, that's what it means at Har Sinai. Kafa alav har kagigis. That Hashem placed this mountain on top of our heads. He didn't place a mountain on top of our heads. What it means is that we saw God with such a level of clarity that free choice was removed from us. If you knew definitively, without even a semblance of doubt, that God existed, our lives would look a lot different. A lot of our troubles are that we doubt God, either overtly or covertly, right? Sometimes we actually doubt God. We see things that happen, and it causes us to doubt God, or we succumb to the world around us, the world which is very physical, the world which is very materialistic, the world which has been very westernized, all takes us away from an awareness and a consciousness of Hashem. So says the Malbim, that even though Hashem obviously is Mashkiach over the world, nonetheless, he hides himself, Yem Makom L'Bechira, to give us that free choice. V'ya'an sheyom HaShabbos hu edus alan hagas hashkachit v'she'aolam lo nimsar el hateva v'amikra. Shabbos is the day, says the Malbim, where we are reminded of Hashem's divine providence. K'mo shebi'arti m'komo, l'chein nityaseid shir ze liyom HaShabbos. That is why this song is the song of Shabbos. As we'll see, one of the lingering questions about this chapter is that while the very first pasuk says, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, this is the song of Shabbos, anyone want to guess how many times Shabbos is mentioned in this Perek of Tehillim? Zero. And therefore the million-dollar question is, if this is the song of Shabbos, it has nothing to do with Shabbos, why? Says the Malbim, I'll give you a very simple reason. That Shabbos is the day when we are reminded of God's Hashkacha, we're reminded of Emuna Hashem, we're reminded that God is in charge. And therefore, the song of Shabbos is a reminder to us about these principles that even as we'll see in a second, even when you see the wicked prosper and the righteous sometimes suffer, says this Perek Tehillim, says Adam Arishon Moshe Rabbeinu, whoever wrote it, don't get thrown off by that. Shabbos is the day where we recalibrate that moral compass, that we recalibrate all of our ethical values. Rabbi Penner, Rabbi Mark Penner, who's the dean of Reitz, so he was here over Sukkos, and he gave a beautiful analogy when he said he was describing his Shmona Esrei. He was talking about Tefillah, and he said, for me, Shmona Esrei isn't just about a conversation with Hashem. He said, Shmona Esrei, davening for me, is basically a form of recalibration, right? That all day, so again, we get thrown off, and we get tempted by our work, and we start to believe that if I work a little harder, then I'll get a little more money, and if I maybe, you know, bend a little truth here, it'll provide me some benefit in another arena. When you step foot into Shmona Esrei, what you're really trying to do is recalibrate that compass. You're removing yourself from this physical world, you're putting yourself before God, and you're saying, now I know what's really important. Right? I'm recalibrating what exactly is important in my life, and I'm going to reassess whether or not how I spent my time between Mincha and Marav, or Shacharis to Mincha, did I use it properly? And this is going to be that restart button. Okay, and that I thought that was a beautiful analogy, but that's what Shabbos is for us. Right, Shabbos is 6 days a week, is we're being thrown, we're in the turmoil of life, Shabbos comes along and says, okay, now I can take a deep breath and I can recalibrate. And that's really what Shabbos was meant to be.
It's just more of reflection, which during the week sometimes
it's all reflection.
Right, which correct. During the week you can't do. It seemed to me, though, is it also possible that David wrote it? Is that at all? Because it talks about it's the language and the way it's written seems more his style than is it really? Does it matter?
It could be David. Again, I think the Midrashim certainly point to Adam, to Moshe. I think even the Gemara says this is one of the Prakim that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. But I think the point of Tehillim is to be relevant for everyone, right? In other words, as we'll go through the Perek, you'll see that the struggles that are presented in this chapter are struggles that all of us feel, right? And that's what makes Tehillim so relatable, okay? Okay, so Tov Lahodos LaShem, the Radak reinforces this idea. Somewhere, yeah, you have it here. On source number 5, the Radak says, Yom HaShabbos Tov L'Hodos LaHashem. Why is Shabbos the day that we sing out to Hashem? Misha'ar Yemei HaShavua, from all other days of the week. Ki Adam Panui Bo Mi'iskei HaOlam. Because you're not worried about the world, right? You're not worried about going out and earning a living. You're not worried about going to the supermarket. V'nishmaso Zacha Mitirdas HaGuf. Zaka mitir das aguf umit aseket bechachma vavodas elokim. Your soul on Shabbos is purified from all of the tirdot, the busyness of the body, and it's able to focus on what's really important. That's exactly what we just referred to. That says the Radak. Why does an avel come in, by the way, right before we say this Perek Tehillim? right? Mm-hmm. So that the first thing, what do we want the first thing in Avel to say is Tov Lehodos LaHashem, right? It's a beautiful imagery if you think about it. Avel comes into Shul, and the very first thing we greet them with, essentially, and that they recite when they come into Shul during Avelis, don't forget, all week long they're at home. So the very first thing they say when they come into Shul is Tov Lehodos LaHashem, is they're praising Hashem, because again, Shabbos is all about that reflection, it's all about that recalibration. Okay? Pasuk Gimel. Lahagid baboker chazdecha, that in the morning we talk about your chesed, ve'emunascha, and your emuna balelos. Okay, so what's this talking about? Rashi tells us that this is talking about galus and geula, redemption and exile, that the boker is during geula, lahagid baboker chazdecha, that in times of geula, in times of redemption, when things are going great, we speak about Hashem's chesed. Ve'emunascha, says the Rashi, that's galus, that's exile. And we maintain our emuna during exile. Of course, as we know very famously, if you look grammatically, it does not refer to our emuna in Hashem. Ve'emunascha is we're referring to whose emuna? Hashem's emuna, right? Lahagid baboker chazdecha. In the morning, we talk about your chesed Hashem, your kindness Hashem. Ve'emunascha, and your emuna in the nighttime. What does Hashem have emuna in? How does Hashem have emuna? So very famously, many of the commentaries point out that it's Hashem's emuna in us. It's Hashem's faith in us, that even in times where we might not be living up to our potential, and we might not be fulfilling our mandate and our purpose and our mission on this world, when things are dark for us, right? Ve'emunascha, Hashem has faith, Hashem has belief in us, that we're going to be able to turn things around. So we have Lahagi Baboch Chazdecha. Our job is to praise Hashem, and his job is to never lose faith in us and to never give up on us. The Malbim understands Boker and Laila a little bit differently, not as Gullus and Geula, not as exile and redemption, but rather as revealed in nature. Lahagid Baboker Chazdecha, says the Malbim, that's talking about the times when Hashem is revealed. When Leilos are times when Hashem is hidden in nature. Mm-hmm. Right? So again, whichever terminology you want to use, it's the same kind of theme, that even when we see Hashem, feel Hashem, we praise Him, and when we don't, so we don't give up on that relationship, but either we have emunah in Him, or He has emunah in us, or both. And that's part of being in a relationship, is developing that mutual trust and that mutual understanding. Okay? Alei asor ve'alei navel, alei higeyon b'chinur. So again, we praise Hashem. We do it with harps and with speech and all these wonderful instruments. Pasuk Vav. Just one quick comment. Higayon. So what's a higayon? A higayon is, how do you translate that literally? It's a string. It's a 10-string instrument, says Rav Hirsch. But Rav Hirsch makes a beautiful idea. Higayon also means something else. Which means a sense. What does that mean, a sense? Like an understanding, an awareness. Rav Hirsch says it really means, he says, higayon is vigorous thought in meditation. Right? Vigorous thought in meditation. Irrespective of the mood in which the Shabbos may find us as it enters, our dwellings, regardless of whether what we feel at the time matches the full string tone of joy or the plaintive strain of the nevel, the Shabbos will always inspire in our minds higayon, that meditation which is symbolized by the tones of the harp. What does that mean? It means Shabbos is that day to think. Shabbos is a day of meditation. It's a day of reflection. It's a day of introspection. So higayon, the musical instrument, says Rav Hirsch, is representative of that thought and meditation that we're supposed to have on Shabbos. I have this argument with my better half all the time. Not a real argument, a debate, right? Sometimes you can literally go from the beginning of Shabbos to the end of Shabbos and not have thought for 4 seconds, right? And as you're out for Friday night meal, you're hosting Shabbos lunch, then you go to the right, and before you know it, you blink and Shabbos is done. And I always say, there's no mitzvah in the Torah that meals and boka have to go until 6 in the afternoon, right? It is okay to end a meal at 2:30 and then to learn with your children, think with the Shlofer Rebbe. There's stuff you can, there are other ways to spend Shabbos. That's what Hirsch is saying. In other words, we should never lose sight of what Shabbos is for. Shabbos is a day of reflection. It's a day of meditation. It's a day of thought. It's a day to recalibrate. And that can only happen if you take a step back and if you pause. Okay, so that's the Higayon. I thought it was a beautiful interpretation of Reversh. Pasuk Hey, Pasuk 5. Ki simachtani Adonai before Alecha, b'maseh yadecha aranein. Ki simachtani, because I rejoiced in your po'alecha, in your actions. B'maseh yadecha aranein. In your actions, I rejoiced. Okay, so again, anytime you see a double language, it causes you to wonder. Malbim points out that there's a difference between a pu'ula and a maaseh. A maaseh is a finished product. A pu'ula is a act is something that's still in the process, right? So he says creation was a maaseh. Pu'ula is God's continued involvement in the world around us, because the world's always evolving, as we say every morning. Right, we say Hamechadesh Betuva B'chol Yom Tamid Maaseh Breishis. God is constantly recreating Breishis. So we rejoice in the creation of the world, and we rejoice in the fact, Hashem, that you continue to create the world every single day. You continue to renew the world. Magalu Maaseh Hashem, how great are your actions, Hashem? Meod Amku Machshvosecha, how deep are your thoughts? What does that mean? How deep are your thoughts? Says Radak. Kesheani mitbonein bahem, anir makir ki gdolim heim ugvoim laasiga melashlimit. When I reflect upon your ways, Hashem, I realize just how deep they are. V'chein amku machshvosecha, I realize how deep your machshavos, your thoughts are. Shaloling lula chachamim tamei haolam. Right, God didn't reveal everything to the world around us. So what Shabbos says, Radak? Shabbos is a day that we ask those existential questions. We grapple with those existential questions of God's awareness of the world and God's involvement in the world. Those are the me'od amku machshvosecha. All week long, we're running. It's the rat race. We don't have time to process a thought. Shabbos, when we could take a deep breath, it's not just to learn. It's not just to go to shul. But it's a time to reflect upon what this world is about, what my role is in this world, what the purpose of this world is. That's the me'odam kumach shvosecha, says the Radak. Pasuk Zayin. Ish bar lo yedau chzin lo yevina zos. An idiot doesn't know it. A fool's not going to understand this. So obviously now you're like building up. What does the fool not understand? Befroach reshayim kmo esev yatzitu ko pole aven lishamdam adayad. Even when you see the reshayim succeed, it's only like the grass, which is going to be quickly, lihishamdam adead, means that it's going to be
destroyed.
It's going to be destroyed. I skipped over this, but what's the difference between a ba'ar and a kasil? A boorish man and a foolish man. So again, reverse has a beautiful insight. A ba'ar, is someone who doesn't have a lot of intellect. Right? We meet people sometimes like that. They're just not the sharpest tools in the shed. They can't always understand things. What's a kasil? A ksil, says Reversh, is someone who, very smart person, but he's so smart, Reversh calls him a conceited fool. Right? In other words, someone who's so smart that this is what it is, and this is how I know it is, and he's not willing to accept that maybe things could be a little bit different. Someone who's so stubborn, we all know people like this, they're too smart for their own good, and therefore they're not willing to entertain the possibility that there could be a God in the world, and that God can be in charge, and they're too smart for their own good, says Reversh. Okay, so you're going to see that the wicked are going to prosper, but don't get fall prey to that and think that that's the correct way to exist in the world, because lishan dama de'ad, because ultimately they're going to be cut down, they're going to be destroyed. Ve'ata, and you, Hashem, marom le'olam Adonai, you are forever high. And as we'll see in a second, every pasuk in our chapter, all 16 psukim have an etnachta, which is like basically a comma, in the middle of the pasuk, with the exception of one pasuk, and that's pasuk 9. Modern day commentaries look at that and say that pasuk 9 is really the epicenter of this entire chapter. Ve'ata, and you, Hashem, marom le'olam Adonai, you are exalted. Because all of your enemies will perish. Yispardu ko poale aven. All of those who try to bring evil into this world, they will be spread out. Vatarem kireim karni balosi b'shemen ranan. But you will raise me up. You will basically pour oil on me. Oil here is reflective of a form of
holiness.
Holiness and shrara, which means leadership, right? And as opposed to the Rishayim, which are going to get cut down, you have lifted me up. Vatabet eini bishurai bekamim alai marim tishmen aznai. Sadika tamar yifrach. Ke'erez bavano niske. Again, this is the foil to the Rishayim, which are going to be cut down. Pasuk 13, are the tzadik katamar yifrach. They are going to blossom like a... what's a tamar?
Date.
Ke'erez bavano niske. And like the cedar tree, they will grow. Malbim, of course, whenever we say this double language, the Malbim always jumps in. Why a tamar in an erez? Why is a righteous person compared to both a date and a cedar tree? So he explains very beautifully. He says, Hatamar poreach ve'osa perot. A palm tree, a date tree, bears fruit. Okay? But it has a negative to it, which is what? That if I chop it down, it's gone. Okay? In Erez, he says, is the opposite. It doesn't have fruit, but if I chop it down, who yiske tamir vegizo machlifet imyukotso also. Apparently, I'm not a botanist, but if you cut down the cedar tree, it's going to regrow itself. Apparently, according to the Malbim. He says, it's sadik nimsha l'shnei ha'itzim. A righteous person is compared to both. Ela tamar b'mashu poreach kamova osef pri kodesh ilulim. He's like a date in the sense that he bears fruit. Right? In other words, there's the ripple effect of the actions of a righteous person. In two, that when a righteous person dedicates his life to ruchnius, so even when the body might give out, but the soul is going to live on in eternity. It's going to constantly recreate itself and regenerate itself. And so says the Malbim, that's why it's sadik katamari frach and ke'erez bavano niske. That it's both going to bear fruit, and even when it's cut down, it will always renew itself. In other words, there's an eternality to it. As opposed to the wicked, which were li shamdam adead, which were going to be destroyed, the righteous person lives in eternality. Shisulim beves Adonai, they're replanted in the house of Hashem. Bechatzos Eloheinu yafrichu, they will flourish in the courtyards of Hashem. Od yinevum beseva, they will grow fat in old age. Deshenim v'rananim yiyu, in other words, they're going to be, there's almost this freshness to them. Lahagid ki ashar Adonai, so that they can declare the righteousness, the uprightness of Hashem. Tsuri, he is my rock. Velo avlasa bo, and there is no injustice whatsoever. Okay? That is our chapter tilm. If you had to summarize the Parakatilim, how would you summarize it? There's a very clear theme in this chapter tilm, which is what? Tzadik v'ralo v'rash v'tolo. Why do bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people? Right? Now, why are the wicked look like they're prospering and the righteous look like they're suffering all the time? And this parakatilim comes along and says, if you see the wicked prosper, don't get thrown off. Because that's lisham dama de'ad, they're going to be destroyed. And the righteous person who sometimes things might not always go so well, don't worry. Tzadik hatamar yifrach, they're going to blossom. Okay, that's clearly the theme of this chapter of Tehillim. Now we come back to our original million-dollar question. What does this have to do with Shabbos? All right, what does this have to do with Shabbos? Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. This is the song of Shabbos. I thought we might talk about Zmiros and Kiddush and Davening. None of that. Talks about why the righteous suffer and the wicked prosper.
He's talking about the tree of life very clearly.
The tree of life?
The meaning is all good, even we see, you know.
Correct, right? In other words, it's all good. Even when we see things that might trouble us, don't get thrown off because you should. That's the Malbim. The Malbim that we read originally says this is about the Ashkacha of Hashem in the world. It's about God's providence in the world. It's about reminding us. And that even though naturally things might not make sense, we believe in a supernatural being, and therefore we have confidence that even when things don't look right, they are right because God is in control. Okay? Yes. What does it have to do with Shabbos?
Does it have to do with tshuva? Because if the Rasha realizes that he can do tshuva, and that has to do with Shabbos, then he can do tshuva. And
well, I was thinking of the flip side, but right, the flip side is that what's one of the temptations when you see a wicked person thrive? right? Say to yourself, hey, it worked for him, right? What am I? I got to do Shabbos and Kashrus. And this guy, right? You see all his pictures on Facebook. He's living the high life. He's making money. He's right. So, you know what? Maybe I don't need to be as scrupulous in my religion. I also can prosper. So if anything, I view it as more giving chizuk to the righteous person, saying, don't get tempted by the Russia, but remember that there's this system. And there's a system of schar va'onesh. And even though it might look like the wicked are prospering, maintain your fidelity to Hashem, and ultimately you will win out. That's the tzadik ha'tamar yifrak, erez bava no nizkeh. So it does have to do with tshuva, but more to give chizuk, to strengthen our perspective, our mindset, to reinforce our values. Right? But again, what does that have to do with Shabbos? So if you look on page number 4.
Question behind you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Comment. Yeah. It starts with Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, and it ends with Lahagid Ki Yashar Hashem Sui V'lo Imla Sabo. If you notice the word Shir and you notice the word Yashar, you put the Yud in the middle, and it's like
that is beautiful.
Wow, that is really nice.
To what you just
I have
said.
To think about that a little more, but that's beautiful.
This is one of the shears that was read on the steps of the Beis HaMikdash, correct?
This is
one of the 15, I guess.
No, those are the Shir HaMalos, is right?
Shir HaMalos.
Yeah, those are the Shir HaMalos.
This is Shir Shayom of Shabbos.
Right, so it was saying in the Beis HaMikdash, correct.
As you said that, I looked down and I saw the word Yashar, and it's like...
It's like going up, right? Well, Atam Marom Hashem, right? That's God, you are on top. Yeah.
The other thing is that in Shabbos we have the meditation, we're focusing on Hashem is in control. So during the week or on Shabbos we see that the Rishonim or whatever they're doing, we realize that we are doing the right thing on Shabbos and the rest of the week.
Shabbos is that we recalibrate that, correct.
So our values were, because we believe in Hashem, that's our Shabbos for the rest of our whole life.
Correct. And that's what the Malbim, correct. The Malbim clearly directs us in that, which says... Shabbos is that day of reflection. So as we're recalibrating our perspective on the world, so we're focusing on the fact that Hashem is in charge, and therefore, even though you might see things that will make you question God and question His dominion over this world, just remember, right? Let's remind you that maintain the yashar, right? Maintain the correct path, maintain that fidelity to Hashem, maintain that perspective that He is in control, and you'll be good, right? And that's clearly part of it. If you look on page number 4, source number 6, Rav Yitzchak Kuttner in his Pachad Yitzchak has a beautiful essay where in the middle he talks about this mizmor, a mizmor shir l'yom HaShabbos. And he asks our exact question. If you look on the fifth line down, where I have that underline, he says, V'chola parsha kula lo nisparish klal shuminin shel Shabbos. Here you start off with this big mizmor shir l'yom HaShabbos, and then he doesn't talk about Shabbos at all. That's exactly our question. Says Rav Huttner the following magnificent idea. He says, if you want to go into Shabbos, right, what Shabbos a day of?
Rest.
Now, it's not just physical rest. It's spiritual rest as well. It's an existential rest. That's what we were talking about, that the whole week is like this tumultuous hurricane, and all of a sudden you come into Shabbos, and Shabbos is that protective bubble. It's when you exhale a little bit. Says Rav Huttner, can you really exhale if the world around you is still crazy?
No.
Right? We know that transition from weekday to Shabbos is an incredibly difficult transition. Certainly now that we're about to change the clocks.
Right. Yeah.
And, well, it's a little better in Boca, because the earliest we get in Boca is like 5 o'clock. But in Boston, when Shabbos will start at 3:45 in the winter, you're literally, like, my mom's leaving work at 3, getting home at 3:15 and like running into Shabbos. So that transition is very hard. And if you think about which paragraph of Tehillim is making that transition for you, it's this paragraph of Tehillim. So says Rav Huttner in my second arrow, he says the following, Ki kol zman she'ein ha-nefesh tofeset bebihirus ubepshitus, as long as it's not crystal clear to us, Ki shalvas harishayim uprichasam eino eli shamdama de'ad, as long as it is not crystal clear to us, that the success of the wicked is ephemeral, it's short-lived, and that ultimately they're going to be cut down. Adayin ein hanefesh nikia mitar umos kalpe seder anhaga shel rasha v'tovo. You will never be able to experience that existential calmness and serenity so long as you have questions about the world around you. Right? If you come out of work and you say to yourself, I don't get it. That guy lies, he cheats, he steals, he's disgusting, he yells, and he's the partner in the law firm. And I, you know, nice guys apparently don't finish last. I'm trying to live a lifestyle that's moral and ethical, and I get trampled over the whole time. Says Rav Hunter, as long as you go into Shabbos with those lingering questions, you'll never be able to experience the peace and serenity that comes with Shabbos. So he says the transition from the weekday into Shabbos is this mindset. And saying that so much that I saw over the week, right, I have to remind myself that Hashem is truly in charge. I have to remind myself that even though that guy might be the partner in the law firm, when we talk about eternality, I'm better off maintaining my ethics and my values and my morals and my awareness of Hashem and my commitment to Halacha, right? So says Rav Hutner, this is the transitional moment when we go from our weekday mindset to a mindset of a focus on Hashem. And he says, you can't go into Shabbos properly. You will never experience the peace and serenity of Shabbos if you don't say this paragraph of Tehillim first. Because this paragraph of Tehillim reminds you that so much of what you see during the week, it's an illusion. Yeah. Right? That's success that you see is an illusion. People who are climbing the ladder, it's an illusion. Right? We know that just because someone makes more money or gets a promotion or right, that doesn't mean that those are the values that we hold near and dear. Now you and I also know that we succumb to that. Mm-hmm. Right? The world around us is a world that pulls us away from that sense of ruchnius, from that sense of spirituality. So much of what we see, whether it's in media, whether it's Western values which are antithetical to a relationship with Hashem, whether it's the capitalistic world in which we live, right? That's the test that we live in. We were put in this world to face that test. But this chapter, says Rav Hutner, is the chapter that transitions us from that weekday mindset to a Shabbos mindset. And he says you can only experience the bliss and the joy and the serenity and the tranquility of Shabbos if you first read this paragraph of Tehillim. This paragraph about Tehillim is that word that we spoke about, Shmona Esrei. It recalibrates us. And it's the only way, says Rav Hutner, to go into Shabbos properly. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says this in a slightly different arena. If you look on page number 5. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky is looking, he's putting this Perek Tehillim in a historical context. And he refers us to a midrash. If you look on the right-hand side, says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, the midrash says, Milamed shahayu biyada migilos, shahayu mishtashim behem mishabbos l'shabbos. That in the Egypt, the Jewish people had these migilos. They had these manuscripts that they would learn, that they would use from Shabbos to Shabbos. Lomar she'akadosh baruch hu goalan, to reinforce and to remind them that Hashem was going to redeem them. Lefisha yunochin b'shabbos, amar lehen paro tichabeda avodal anashim v'yasubim v'velo yishu. When Paro saw that they were relaxing on Shabbos, he doubled the workload because he didn't want them to rest on Shabbos. Okay, what were these megillos? What were these scrolls that the Jewish people were learning? So he says, this is based on a different medrash, that this was Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos, our paragraph of Tehillim. If you look where I have my underline about 2/3 down on the right-hand side, he says, V'nira, Shemizmor Zeh Haya Echad Me'amigilos Sheishtashu Ben B'Yom HaShabbos B'Mitzrayim. This paragraph of Tehillim was one of those scrolls, was one of the things that they recited in Egypt. V'hainu, after Paro had agreed to give them a day of rest, and Moshe chose Shabbos, so Moshe decreed that everyone should gather together and learn. And one of the things that they learned was Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos. Why? So if you look on the left-hand side, you see there's like a little break in between paragraphs where I cut and paste two pages together. So it says there, Lachin, La'achar shekiblu Yisrael miParo es haShabbos kiyom menucha. After Paro gave the Jews Shabbos as a day of rest, hinei nitzayir na le'atzmenu ma'ya osim achim achenu hamedukaim biyom menucha zeh. Right, all week long. They're doing back-breaking, horrific work. All of a sudden, they're given a day of rest. What does that day of rest look like, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky? Kimuvan shayu holchem el yeshiva. They would come to shul. Shelo paska me'avoseim v'yudorshim lefanav. And they'd hear a drasha. What was the drasha about? What did Rabbi Goldberg, right, get up and say in the shul in Mitzrayim during this? He's not that old. But,
well, he's a grandfather.
He's a grandfather now, right? What? A 2,000-year-old man, right? Right? That's what we do in my house on Pesach night. I always come in as the 2,000-year-old man. It's very cute. The kids look forward to it. All right, so what is... I think we might be at it.
Yes.
This. Oh, I thought you meant...
There should be one right outside the door. Okay, we're going to finish up soon anyways. I'm sorry. Right, what was the drush about? Kimuvan le'odeid et rucham. He wanted to uplift their spirits. V'shelo yikshu kushezo shel tzadik v'ralo. Right, again, what were the Jewish people struggling with? What were they grappling with in Egypt? Here's God's chosen people who are slaves for 200 years. And these Egyptians, these Munuvalim, these disgusting human beings, they're the Greis Empire. They're the great empire. So the Jewish people were struggling with this. V'lazeh, and therefore, tikein Moshe Rabbeinu mizmor she liyom haShabbos. Moshe Rabbeinu had them read this chapter on Shabbos. V'hainu. Lagid baboker chasdecha ve'amunascha balalos. Kolomar afilu b'shas tokef hagalos shu dome lalayla. Afal pichin aleinu lomar magalu masech Hashem. To remind the Jewish people that even in the darkest of times, even in the darkest of times, our job is to praise Hashem, to believe in Hashem, to maintain that emuna and that bitachon in Hashem. And so says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, what is Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos have to do with the rest of this chapter of Tehillim? No, he's putting it in historical context. He's saying that this was one of the Megillos. This is what they studied. This is what the you want to know what the Drasha in Egypt was 2,500 years ago? It was Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos. And what did this chapter of Tehillim have to do with Shabbos? That's what they read on Shabbos. That when they would have their Yom HaMenucha, when they would have their day of rest, and they would gather together, what were they listening to? Moshe Rabbeinu was reminding them, don't think just because Egypt is successful now, they're going to be successful forever because Lisham Dama De'ad, they're eventually going to be destroyed. And just because we're God's chosen people and we're beaten down, enslaved, and we're being punished and persecuted, don't think that's forever either. Because Sadika Tamar Yifrak, Erez Bavanon Yiske. That was the drusha of Moshe. Lahagid Baboker Chazdecha Ve'amunascha Ba'alot. You have to, Moshe, you can picture Moshe Rabbeinu looking at the Jewish people and saying, you have to remember Hashem, you have to maintain Amunah and Hashem. Right? It's a beautiful insight of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. And if that was the first time this chapter of Tehillim was used, it's not so different than what we experience nowadays. Right? All week long, we are put in positions where we question Hashem. It could be an illness of a loved one. It could be that you were jumped over for a promotion. It could be a grandchild that's having a difficult time. Right? We all have those moments where we question Hashem. And we wonder why Hashem conducts the world the way that he does. And those questions haunt us all week long. Right? They haunt us all week long. And sometimes, if we're honest with ourselves, it causes us to look at other people that sometimes are quote-unquote more successful than us and say, why him and not me? Right? Those are existential questions that linger. And Shabbos is the day where we experience a level of tranquility and serenity. And that comes with letting go of those questions. This chapter of Tehillim allows us to let go of those questions. It recalibrates us. It reaffirms our emunah and our bitachon in Hashem. If you turn the page, one last beautiful insight from Reb Pinkas. Reb Pinkas says, don't you think it's interesting that we start Shabbos with song? Right, lechu neranana laHashem, that we start off by singing praise to Hashem, that we end Kabbalah Shabbos with tov lahodos laHashem ulezamer l'shimcha alyon, that we're singing to Hashem. So says Reb Pinkas, where I have my two arrows on the bottom of the page. He says beautifully, kishe Shabbos nichnese, when Shabbos enters, zochim lekazo kirvas laHashem isbrach, we merit an elevated level of closeness to Hashem. She efshar lahasbir oso ulatara b'milim, which you can't really put into words. Right? Again, I am jealous of women. I really am. Because men go to shul, and women, predominantly, even though they go to shul, they light Shabbos candles more often than not, right? The few times my wife has been away, and I've lit the Shabbos candles in our house, I'm jealous of that experience. I really am. It's a magnificent experience. And if I asked you to describe that transition that takes place from like the chaos to all of a sudden like the serenity. I remember when I was sick a few years ago, so I wasn't always going to shul on Friday night, and I saw it in the house, and it was crazy. Like 6:59, the house would be like bonkers and noise and chaos and whatever. And all of a sudden, my wife would go to light the candles, and like this serenity just descended on the house. And that's exactly where Pinchas is describing here. You can't describe it. You can't describe that.
It's physical. It's a physical.
Even though it's spiritual, it's physical. But you can't describe it, right? You can't describe it. And even in shul, there's also this just there's this amazing transition that takes place from your mincha shmon esrei to your mar shmon esrei. Just you're a different person. You really are, and the world around you just feels different. So he says here, lachein. Therefore, bisha meromemet zo lo medabrim. Because you can't put that experience into words, at that moment we don't speak. What do? Raksa. We sing. We sing. Song is when you can't put something into words, you sing. You sing music. Misha mevin, mevin. Anyone who understands it will understand it. Misha eno mevin, anyone who doesn't get it, efshar lazor lolavin. It's very hard to describe what Shabbos is like to someone who never experienced Shabbos. I always reference this in terms of symphony. Okay? So music is music. It's beautiful. But you could be in a symphony, and I could be in a symphony, and for one person it could be a root canal, and for another person it could be like the most glorious, magnificent experience ever. Right? What's the difference between those two people? Do they have that like sixth sense to music? Do they understand the music? If I don't understand the music, I'm falling asleep because it's peaceful and calming, and I sleep my way through the concert. If I do understand it, your heart is like pulsating, it's racing because you're so excited by that piece of music. Right? Religion is no different. If you understand the DNA of religion, so you can understand, right, that unspoken language, that song. And if you don't have that radar, if you don't have that sixth sense, you're missing out on it completely. In fact, Rabbi Soloveitchik writes, that was one of the tests of Avram Avinu. When Avram Avinu, if you come away with nothing else, remember this one because we're coming up to it in 2 weeks. 2 weeks, right? Parshas Va'era. Precious Noach Lech Lecha Va'era. Right, Va'era. Avram Avinu is coming to Yerushalayim. Does Hashem ever tell Avram where to go? No. He says, Ki im el amakom, to the place. How's Avram supposed to know where the place is? There were no street signs, right? There were no bus stops. How is he supposed to know? Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, that was the test of Avram. Hashem wanted to know if when Avram went to a place with Kedusha, would he know it? Would he sense that Kedusha? Would he have that, what the Rav calls that sixth sense, that awareness? Would his antennas be up enough to know, you know what, I'm in a different place right now? That was the test of Avram. And by the way, that's our test also, right? Do we treat our homes the same way we treat a shul? Do we treat the Kotel? Do we treat Yerushalayim the same way we treat, you know, Paris or France? Okay? Do we treat Shabbos the same way we treat a Tuesday? Are our religious, spiritual antennas in tune with the holiness in time and in space around us? So Rapinka says, why do we sing on Shabbos? Mizmor Shir Leoma Shabbos. Shabbos is song. He says, because you can't describe Shabbos. Right? All we do is we do something that doesn't have words, which is we sing to it. He says in the next paragraph, Mimnesha Shabbos hi ha omek shel haragashut harigashot hanimseim balev ha'am ha'yudi, because it's the emotional heartbeat of the Jewish people. Zeu azman shebo nifkashim b'Hashem Yisbarach. That's our time where we have that romantic rendezvous with Hashem. We meet with Hashem. V'esa'ava zo yefshar lasbir b'milim. I used to always love, it was when I was single, I didn't appreciate it at the time, but I was in YU, and it's hard to describe this also, but the library, so the first floor of the library, was where a lot of like couples that were dating used to go. Because it was like a public place, and they used to go, and they used to talk there. And oftentimes you'd find a couple that was close to engagement, And they used to just like stare at each other for hours. And I remember I was like young, back from yeshiva. I was like, gag me, this is nauseous, right? Like googly eyes, how nauseating is this, right? But right, when you love someone, so you can't put into words. You can just stare into a person's eyes and you can feel that love. Okay? He says, Efsha Rak Lomar, Mizmor Shir Le Yom HaShabbos Tov L'Odos LaHashem. Ze Tov. Ma B'diuk Tov. What is good? What is the Tov L'Odos LaHashem? He writes, Shokolad, Sukariot. Is it candy? Is it chocolate? No. L'Zamer L'Shim Chalion. It's to sing to Hashem. Yoter Mize Einenu Yecholim Lomar. There are no words to describe what it means to feel Hashem's presence in your life. The only thing you can do sometimes is sing a song. I think that's a beautiful description of a Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. Why specifically Shabbos? Why do we use this to usher in the Shabbos? And so what we saw here is a beautiful Perek HaTehillim about Tzadik V'Ralo, about why the righteous suffer sometimes and the wicked prosper. We spoke about how this Perek HaTehillim is really about God's dominion. It's about God's providence. It's about His Hashkacha. It's about our emunah in Hashem, even when it's difficult to maintain that emunah, because everything you see around you is antithetical to that. And we saw, what does that have to do with Shabbos? Why is this the Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos? So either the Malbim who says that Shabbos is a day where we recalibrate ourselves, where we remind ourselves of what's important and what's not important, and who's in control and who's not in control. And even though we might see someone succeed, that doesn't ultimately mean that we should aspire to be like that person. We saw Rav Huttner who said that is why we read it as we enter into Shabbos, because you can't experience the peace and the serenity and the tranquility of Shabbos until you get rid of all your questions. All of those existential questions, all of the questioning of Hashem, check it at the door when you let go of that. When you remind yourself that despite those questions, Hashem is in charge. When you let go of that, that's when you can truly experience Shabbos. We saw of Yaakov Kamenetsky that beautiful historical insight that this was the Perek HaTehillim that Jewish people read on Shabbos in Mitzrayim, based on the Midrash. Because in Mitzrayim, they were going through such hardships, they needed to remind themselves that even in the dark times, we need to maintain our emunah and Hashem. So why is it Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos? Because that's what they sing on Shabbos. And then lastly, we saw this beautiful insight by Rabbi Pinkus. Why do we start Kabbalah Shabbos with L'chu Neranana LaHashem? We sing to Hashem. We end it Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. It's a song to Hashem. He says, because sometimes we experience things in life that you can't describe into words. That transition to Shabbos, that spirituality, that serenity that comes with Shabbos, that closeness, the intimacy, that love that we have to Hashem is sometimes something that can't be put in words. And so what do? We sing to Hashem. We sing to Hashem. It's an important reminder because the words should never bog us down. The words are simply the fertilizer, so to speak, that are going to give us the wings to fly in our song and our relationship with Hashem. We should never be limited by the words. The words are simply the baseline to allow us then to experience so much more of a connection to Hashem. Hopefully with that, we'll say this Perek HaTehillim differently this Shabbos. We'll maybe think a little bit more seriously about that transition from the weekday to Shabbos. And hopefully this Perek HaTehillim will give us a lot to think about what we want our Shabbos to look like. Is it just about the meals and the coming to shul and the kiddush or whatever, or are we trying and aspiring to something a little bit higher this Shabbos? Everyone have a great week.